I'll think about it, Perks. Now you push off, all right? Polly stood up.
Think hard, Sarge, eh? Like you said, anyone who's got anyone left is ahead of the game right now. For grandchildren. I'd be a proud kid if I had a granddad who could spit tobacco juice far enough to hit a fly on the opposite wall.
I'm warning you, Perks.
It was just a thought, Sarge.
Yeah, right, Jackram growled.
Thanks for getting us through it, Sarge. Jackram didn't turn round. I'll be going then, Sarge.
Perks,
said Jackram as she reached the door. Polly stepped back into the room. Yes, Sarge.
I expected better of 'em, really. I thought they'd be better at it than men. Trouble was, they were better than men at being like men. They do say the army can make a man of you, eh? So whatever it is you are going to do next, do it as you. Good or bad, do it as you. Too many lies, and there's no truth to go back to.
Will do, Sarge.
That's an order, Perks. Owen Perks.
Yes, Sarge.
Thanks, Perks.
Polly paused when she got to the door. Jackram had turned her chair to the fire and settled back. Around her, the kitchen worked. 6 months passed. The world wasn't perfect, but it was still turning. Polly had kept the newspaper articles. They weren't accurate, not in the detail, because the writer told stories, not what was actually happening. They were like paintings, when you had been there and had seen the real thing. But it was true about the march on the castle, with Wazza on a white horse in front carrying a flag. And it was true about people coming out of their houses and joining the march, so that what arrived at the gates was not an army but a sort of disciplined mob, shouting and cheering. And it was true that the guards had taken one look at it and had seriously reconsidered their future, and that gates had swung open even before the horse had clattered onto the drawbridge. There was no fighting, no fighting at all. The shoe had dropped. The country had breathed out. Polly didn't think it was true that the painting of the Duchess, alone on its easel in the big, empty throne room, had smiled when Wazza walked toward it. Polly had been there and didn't see. But lots of people swore it had, and you might end up wondering what the truth really was, or whether there was the truth. And then again, if there was also the truth, and of course, the truth. Anyway, it was the stuff of legends, where accuracy is not required as a major ingredient. Anyway, it had worked. And then they went home. A lot of soldiers did, under the fragile truce. The first snows were already falling, and if people had wanted a war, then the winter had given them one. It came with lances of ice and arrows of hunger. It filled the passes with snow. It made the world as distant as the moon. That was when the old dwarf mines had opened up, and pony after pony emerged. It had always been said there were dwarf tunnels everywhere, and not just tunnels. There were secret canals under the mountains, docks, flights of locks that could lift a barge a mile high in busy darkness, far below the gales on the mountaintops. They brought, indeed, cabbage and potatoes and roots and apples and barrels of fat, things that kept. And the winter was defeated, and the snow melt roared down the valleys, and the Kinnock scrawled its random wiggles across the flat silt of the valley. They'd gone home, and Polly wondered if they'd ever really been away. Were we soldiers, she wondered? They'd been cheered on the road to Prince Marmaduke Pyotr Albert Hans Josef Bernhard Wilhelmsburg, and had been much better treated than their rank deserved, and even had a special uniform designed for them. But the vision of Gummy Abbins kept arising in her mind. We weren't soldiers, she decided. We were girls in uniform. We were like a lucky charm. We were mascots. We weren't real. We were always a symbol of something. We'd done very well for women. And we were temporary. Tonka and Lofty were never going to be dragged back to the school now, and they'd gone their own way. Wazza had joined the general's household and had a room of her own and quietness, and made herself useful and was never beaten. She'd written Polly a letter in tiny, spiky handwriting. She seemed happy. A world without beatings was heaven. Jade and her beau had wandered off to do something more interesting, as trolls very sensibly did. Shufti had been on a timetable of her own. Maledicta had disappeared. and Igorina, at least, had set up by herself in the capital, dealing with women's problems, or at least those women's problems that weren't men.